Hi, I've always wanted to record a session of real slow time genealogy, showing what it's actually like when we do our family history. No quick wins, no this is something I researched earlier. So here we are today, me and Nate having a go at doing some live family history in our podcast. It's slow, but we hope you'll enjoy it. Welcome to the best bit of the week, where we talk about family history. And my name is Helen Tovey, I'm editor of Family Tree, and with me is, as ever,
Nathan Ward. Hello there.
So, Nathan, how's it going?
If we're going to talk about my family tree, not so well.
Well, I got that message from you last night, and then I only saw it really late, and I didn't want to message you back that late, so it's too late to start getting into the nitty-gritty of family history. But what was going on?
I don't remember messaging you last night. That's weird. I was trying to do the mystery of Auntie Mildred, and I set myself it as like, this is a good challenge. It's a good research task to see if I can navigate through the records and find a relative who's not too distant. My mum knows the answer. I could just ask her, but I'm not doing that. I want to try and find her. So I knew she was on my nana's side of the family. That was the only clue I had as to who she was. And I went away looking through all the records on Ancestry, trying to find this missing Auntie Mildred. And I couldn't do it. I got stuck. I got to a point where I found what I thought was the right surname, so she was going to appear. But I then couldn't find marriage certificates that married her into the family. So I don't know her maiden name. And I found some brothers of, I can't remember, it's my great-grandparents. I think it must be my great-grandparents' siblings, who I figured one of them must have married my Auntie Mildred. That's where I'm thinking she's come from. Anyway, I couldn't find the records. So I might want to turn to you now and see if you can help me solve it.
Okay, let's get a bit more bearing on it. So she's called Auntie Mildred, but not sure whose auntie she is. Do we know she's your mum's auntie for sure? Can't remember what the deal is.
She is potentially, she could be my mum's great auntie. Mm-hmm. And therefore she's my great great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm guessing. It's all guesswork. So I was following my nana's side.
So she is, let's say she is your great-great-auntie, or in fact, even if she's your great-auntie, the option she could be your great-great or your great-great-auntie or your great-great-auntie, yeah?
Yes.
So either way, that's your grandparents' generation and your great-grandparents' generation, because when you're the auntie, you obviously have an extra great. So she's going to be probably born... she could well be very likely, if she's your great great auntie, she's going to be on the 1939 register.
Right.
If you know her birthday, do you know her birthday?
Like, I know nothing.
Know nothing. Okay. Because that can be, the 1939 register could be really cool if you know somebody's birthday, even if you don't know the year, because you're putting in their first name and then their precise birthday. Let's say it's the 18th of April or whatever. That really helps fine tune the number of search results you get back, having that precise date. But you don't know her birthday. Okay. So have you, out of your, so it's potentially she's related to one of your grandparents, or eight great-grandparents.
Yeah. My thinking is that it's my nana's mother's brother's wife.
Yeah. Your nana's mother's
brother's wife.
Yes. So have you got all of your great granny's siblings, this great granny in question, have you got all of her siblings? Have you definitely found them all?
This is, so my great granny is Maggie Nelson.
Yeah.
And her two brothers there are Alan and Eric. So I'm presuming one of these two married her.
Yes. And you know that those are definitely all of the siblings that Maggie had. Did she have any other brothers possibly? Have you looked for them to have a look? Have you looked in like the General Register Office birth index to see what other Nelson babies were born? No. So I would have a quick look in there to make sure you've definitely collected all of the Nelson brothers. So you could look in the General Register Office birth indexes, or you could look in the 1911 census, because one of those brothers is born after the 1911, you can look in the 1921 census as well. And so by looking in all of those three, you're going to get a good idea. Yes, I've done a, you know, I've done a reasonable search, looking around to make sure I've got all the brothers.
Yeah, I think I got the brothers' names from one of the censuses.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know which one.
Doesn't matter. So in your research log will tell you, she says.
Oh, you know what? I've been a bad man. I was doing this on the bus. This is my problem now. I was doing this on the bus.
Yeah.
And I haven't added it to my research. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Shame.
Well, anyway, so you could be, you're not looking through a billion records, are you? You could quickly scout out the 1911 census and the 1921. So look for Maggie in both of those records and see what other boys' names are going to come up as her siblings on there.
Right, so how would I do this then on the website?
So go to, you're going to go to search. Yep. And like, I think I've banged on about this before, going to the card catalogue. So in this, go to the homepage, which of the Ancestry website, which you have, press the word search, which is in the menu, then scroll down near the bottom, it says card catalogue.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just go to census, which doesn't matter, yeah. And then here we go. So you can see up near the top of the list, it's the 1921 census in England, because it's only been added recently and they're in the order they get added to the website. So that's nice and convenient. So let's click on that one and have a look in the 1921 and see what siblings we can find. And so once you start typing into the search interface, it'll pull up Maggie from your tree and you could just go yes and it will autofill all her results. Yes.
Cool.
Let's give her a search. And sometimes you have to play around with the search fields a bit. Sometimes if you've put really precise information and then you might not get the result you want. Yeah.
Mm.
Are these looking promising?
Well, the George Horatio relative popped up there, which I've mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
So
Let's have a look at the image then, or the transcript, and we'll see what names you can see on it. This is like on the telly when it makes it look really, really easy. It's the answer, the one you want at the top of the list. So, yes, yeah. On this 1921 census, we've just got the parents. We've got Maggie and we've got her two brothers. So
yeah, that's the one that I got this information from.
On your research log, it's already looked like, by the look of it, you've already saved the 1921 census, so you don't need to save it again. You just need to make a note that you found them all on the 1921. Then go back to your search and you can look for the 1911. So there's a few different ways you can do it. On the homepage of Ancestry, you can click search and then the drop-down menu, you can choose censuses and you can drill down to the precise census you want. And so or you can do the card catalogue way and find it that way. But the main thing is, don't just go to the homepage of Ancestry and search for this census record you're after, because you're after a precise one. You want the 1911. So you can search in the 1911 collection for England and Wales. So you've gone to search, you've selected census, you've now selected a specific year. And this just saves you having to wade through results that you're not after. Because you've got a pinpointed goal in mind at the moment, haven't you?
Yes.
Just to make sure, have I definitely got all those siblings? Because one of those boys is going to be Mildred's husband, you suspect.
Let's hope so, yeah.
Yes.
So we're looking again for... this Geisley one, that one suggests that that's...
Have a look, yeah. Mm.
So it's not?
Mm.
Don't recognise any of those names.
No. That just shows when you open up and you see all the other people they lived with in the house, that's just shows why the census is so useful, because sometimes when we're looking for our ancestors, we find them in a record, like maybe potentially on a passenger list or on an electoral register, and they may or may not be with other family members. But when we find them in the census, they're there with their family members very often, not always. And it's by checking all those other names, we go, yes, these are names we're familiar with. It helps us know we've got the right Maggie, not just any old Maggie. So again, this is wrong Maggie, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So why would it be that I'm not finding her on 1911? Is it just, it is here, I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, it is here, but she's not being found yet. And it could be because you auto-populated the search field, so you've got all that info for Maggie, you've got who her parents' names are and everything else. And there's any number of reasons why she's not showing up really obvious in your search result. But it could be that, say, you've got her father's name as part of your search fields and her father's away on business and not living at home at the time. So he's not going to be recorded on the census with them. It could be that her birth location is termed slightly differently. It could be that... So it says here, spouse.
Right, because I do have the spouse. It's the brother's relations that don't.
So have you looked through all of those search results which came up, say, on the first page, and you felt like none of them were looking good? There's a few different things you can do. If you can't find the person you're after, one, you can stick with looking with them, but you have to start playing around with your search terms. Maybe, sometimes people will say less is more, so you might want to get rid of some of those search terms that you have and just search a bit more broadly.
Okay. Or
another suggestion people do is say, think of the other people in the household who they're likely to be living with and choose somebody with the most unusual first name. So let's say you're turning loads and loads of Maggie Nelsons in your search results. You know that her dad's called George Horatio, which potentially could be more useful because he's got that middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll maybe have a search on him in the 1911 and see if you could find the family that way. So yeah, less is more, and then trying other family members with more unusual names. And sometimes it's a case of trying other family members and they might not have more unusual names, but it's still worth trying the other family members because sometimes there's a mistake with, here we go, top of the list, this one looks like it's your one, doesn't it?
It's in my hints, it says, yeah, so...
In your hints doesn't necessarily mean that it's more useful, but it is looking promising, isn't it? Ooh, interesting.
So we've got, I can't read that, Alan, it's three sons on this one.
Three sons and no sign of the mum and the daughter. And looking across, so you haven't got the mum to cross-refer with. You haven't got your granny's name to cross-refer with. The two of the boys, you know, are their names right? One's Alan. Yeah. One's Edward. Yeah. And so you know about Alan and Edward. Then the older son that you haven't come across before, or Eric, isn't it? Oh, Eric. Yours is Eric and the other one's an Edward.
Eric and Alan, yeah.
And what's your great grandpa's normal occupation? Do you know what it is?
No. Something occupied for a living. Not occupied for a living,
does it? Yeah. He's saying not occupied for a living. So now we're back on the 1921 census. And this is really interesting because it's saying that he was out of work. And in the 1921 census, at the time the census got taken, there were 2 million people out of work. There was massive employment problems. So house painter. And what about, maybe this isn't the right one. Because it's saying Edward. My mistake, I got Edward and Eric muddled up. But it has got an Alan.
Oh.
So I think this is not your one, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
Just shows you have to look at all the nitty gritty stuff, don't you?
It does. I'm glad it's not as straightforward though, because I thought I was being silly. I was like, I can't get this. I was expecting to just jump over everything, but
it's sometimes everything does fall into place, and sometimes it doesn't. And like me, like you, like we have to pick up our research and do little bits here and there, don't we? So this shows why it's good doing a research log. So you know you're going to write down that you found them in the 1921 census nice and easily. And you can say that you looked in your research log, you can say, started looking for Maggie Nelson in the 1911 census. Say why you're looking for her. I'm looking for her so that I can find her household and make sure that I definitely have got all of her siblings. And then you're going to say, and we ran into the sand a little bit. There wasn't the immediately obvious answer that we needed. So I need to continue with trying to find their 1911 census entry for the family at another time. And then there's one last thing you could do. So in your notes, you've got a plan then what you can do next time, and you know how that bit of research is going. And then you could go on remember the GRO certificates website? It's a bit of a fact to log into. So you don't have to do that now, but you could do. Well, it's just a fact because you have to log in. I don't know. I don't manage to make myself stay logged in. I have to log in every single time. Anyway, you could go on there and you could have a look and see whether you've got any other siblings for Maggie. Being their births registered on there, that could be helpful.
Right. So, because I was struggling to find her, also not her, a father. Is it, well, we're just looking for extra siblings. I obviously found them on the 1921. Can we follow out her brothers? Is that something quick enough to check?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So your brothers are on her tree. So Ancestry does have a birth, marriage and death index. So you could search within that to look for either of them to find if you can see. Presumably, have you done this already? You've searched to see whether you can find either of them marrying a Mildred.
I haven't, no.
Okay, let's do this then. Yeah.
This is where I came undone. I was expecting just to find loads of marriage certificates coming up in hints and nothing came up.
Yeah. So this is good though, because hints, partly you're just relying on what happens to get hinted at you, whereas you're, and it may or may not be accurate what turns up in the hints, whereas you're going to now go out and do the research yourself. So you're going to go to the search menu on Ancestry and you're going to scroll down to the section on birth, marriage and deaths, including parish. And you're going to say, now you'll know you're only searching within this collection. You're going to put in Alan Nelson. And if you scroll down the page a bit, it will have a section for spouse. So you can put in Mildred. And what the, not typical, but quite frequent, don't be surprised if they sometimes they might be known as Auntie Mildred, but her real name's Florence or something highly different. This is really unhelpful, and Mildred's her middle name. So, but it's worth, let's give this a go and see what turns up. And you might want to, has it got a location in there? Ooh.
Right, okay.
Ooh. Oh.
So we've got entries for William Alan Nelson.
Hmm. And the fact there's a William Alan Nelson there, this is, again, it's one of those things, the more you know about your family and the more, you call them data points you have for your family, the more you know whether that William's a contender. So we don't know very much about your Alan. We've got him in the 1921 census, and I haven't seen any evidence of him anywhere else. You might have more evidence, but I don't know what it is. So the only data point I've got for Alan is he's called Alan. But let's say we also had him in the 1911 census. Let's say we had his birth record. Let's say we had a subsequent military record, all sorts of other things. He might refer to his name slightly differently across the records. He might get a baptism for him as well as a birth. And so by building up more and more pieces of information about a person, you know whether to rule in or out that William. So with only one data point, i.e. only one fact that we know about him, but his name on the 1921 was Alan, we would be tempted to completely discount that William Alan, wouldn't we? But yeah. If we knew more about him, we go, do you know what, son, is he? He's called William. And if we knew, for instance, that his grandpa was called William, we go, oh, that's another thing. Potentially he'd be named after a grandpa, William, but he's actually called Alan day to day. All of that sort of stuff. So this is why you have to just keep on proceeding slowly and carefully to make sure you don't make any wrong decisions, but gradually gathering more and more information, and then it helps give you the knowledge and confidence whether you're doing the right thing or not.
Wow. It's quite a lot, isn't it? There's so many variables now for me to search for. Because if she's not called Mildred, then I'm skewing this search result. Anyway, answer.
Mm. The other thing, that you know your family is very closely based to a locality. And this is not something I ever really do in my family, because my family just keep moving the whole time. And so I never have the confidence of a place, whereas it's risky to assume that you're going to find your ancestor in a very kind of reasonably tight place location. But it's potentially worth it with your family to narrow down the place. And you're searching on Mildred, who's married to an Alan Nelson.
Yeah.
We have got that other brother as well. So before we get totally into the weeds and lost and wondering, then we could have a look at Eric as well. While I'm talking, like what you flick through the birth, marriage and death indexes, and you flick through marriage and parish register of marriages. And this is all good. It's all potential leads that you've looked at. You're looking and you're not writing down what you're doing, and so which is fine, but what it means is, like, later on today or over the weekend you'll do it again, and then in 2 weeks time you'll do it again, and if you're not methodical and don't write it down, you'll keep doing it again, and you won't make much headway, and then you'll feel annoyed you feel like it's a bit depressing, blah, blah, blah. I've said this so many times. It's because I've depressed myself by doing it myself. That's why I know why.
All of the training you've given me has just gone to nothing.
No, it's not. Well, no, but that's what we... I don't think it matters if you sometimes do this, but you just don't want to keep doing it, because if you did, you could do this for the next 2 years, couldn't you? So that's why you need to be methodical, like my keep to your research goal for the day, for the session, yeah?
Yes.
Just finding Auntie Mildred. So we've done a little bit of work trying to establish, have you got all the siblings? And now we're heading off into the marriage records, trying to find her marriage.
Hmm.
Another place you could look for them is you could look for Auntie Mildred, and either with Eric Nelson or with the other brother, Nelson, Alan Nelson. You could look for them in the 1939 register.
Okay. So potentially look for her as a Nelson?
Yeah. So you go to search, and then if you're on Ancestry, you go into search in the menu, scroll down to card catalogue. And in the keyword, put in 1939, and then it will bring up a few records which are relevant to 1939, but you will be able to spot the one where it says National Register. Here we go. Let's have a look. Here we go. 1939 England and Wales Register. So this is the really, really super cool record that was taken. Can you see it?
Yes, I can. Sorry.
It was taken at just a few weeks after Britain had joined the Second World War, and it's a big... massive register of 45 million people to make sure they could all have ration cards and ID cards and potentially be conscripted and to learn about their useful occupations that they had.
Is it bonkers to search for Mildred Nelson, or should I be searching?
No, I think that's clever. Yeah, because I think there's a very good chance to be married by then, and her spouse, you search on Alan, add in their spouse as well, because it's going to help you know you've got the right one. Or the other thing you could do is, because you know, once you know Alan's age, but you have no clue what Mildred's age is, so probably the best thing to do is to search on Alan Nelson with a spouse of Mildred, because you know the birth year for Alan from the census. So even though you don't know precisely his age, you don't have his actual birthday, but you've got a rough idea. Then Mildred and the spouse, and let's give it a go.
We've got 73 results from this. And are these results listed in any particular order?
Yeah, they'll be listed in the order that the Ancestry algorithm thinks is most relevant to you. So, for instance, you look at the bottom of your list, there's even an Eileen Nelson. So
yeah.
It's going completely off piece, because the algorithm knows that you're Alan's male and Eileen's typically female's name. So it's
there's a William A. Nelson and there is a Mildred E.
Ooh, that's looking quite... Oh, William again.
So maybe he is a William.
See, this is what I mean about the data points bit. So scroll up and down the page. And probably what the most helpful thing when you get to a brand new record is on the page actually tells you what the page is about. So if you go to the top of the page and then it'll tell you. So it's ED letter code. So that's the enumeration district letter code. And it's telling it's the borough. So that's the registration district. And my mind's gone completely blank what UD is. But anyway, it's telling you the locality. And then going on to the next column, it's got the address, the schedule number. Because that's worth knowing that's the schedule number. Because you don't want where it says schedule number 72. You don't want to go and think that your person is 72, do you? You need to know that's your schedule number, not their age. Going across, it's got their names, hasn't it? It's got their surname first, then their first name.
Yep.
Then going across, it's got information about whether they're male or female. And you see the next column where it's got their precise birthday. So this person's 17th of January.
Yeah.
And the year. So that's 1871. Yeah. So let's go down the page and find this William and see if he has
It's just here.
Oh, you got it?
Yep. And then it's Nelson Mildred there.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The thing that excites me is that I actually recognise the address, because that's in the village that I grew up in.
That is fantastic. Yeah.
So he's a William and not an Alan, as you suggested earlier.
So this is, and we've got his birthday now. So he was born on the 1st of April, 1903.
Yep.
He's a domestic painter and decorator. And for Mildred, this is brilliant as well. So you've got an initial, we've got her middle initial. So she's Mildred E. Nelson, born on the 18th of January, 1905.
Yeah.
So we can go and see other things you could do. You can try and find her birth record because you want to try and find, and also you could go look for her, look for, if you're looking in a very small locality. So if you're looking in Pudsey, you could look for Mildred's, born in 1905 on the 1911 census, and you could potentially find her at home with her family. Then you'll get her maiden name, and then you can look up William Allen Nelson and Mildred's marriage and the marriage thing. You've got more facts, more data points to match together. And then, because we didn't write anything down, and I'm as forgetful as a fish, I can't even remember where we found the other record, where we found the William Allen and we said, don't rule him out. Was that the 1911 census? Or something, wasn't there? We found him recently.
I think it was the 1921, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. We found him just in this little session. We found him and we were like, potentially don't rule him in, don't rule him out. And at that point, we just had to be completely calm and a bit uninterested. But now it's all getting more exciting. So you found them on, looking like potentially you found them on the 1939.
Yep.
And can you see what's happening? It's like you're kind of going round the houses. You're gaining a feel for what records are useful for you looking in a certain time period. So you're looking in the early decades of the 1900s. So 1901, 1911, 1921 census are all useful to you. The 1939 register is useful to you. These are all useful to you because they have people at home with their relations. Then you can cross-refer those details and feel more confident that you've got your correct person by their name. Yeah.
Yep. So now would it be worth me trying to find the birth for Mildred?
Yes, yes.
So clicking on search, birth, marriage and death. So just searching, I obviously don't know a surname yet.
You don't know, but you know, you're fairly confident from, you've got so much other information that you're in the Pudsey area.
So I'm putting a birth in. Should I put Pudsey or not?
Yes, put Pudsey in. Sometimes when you put in a place, it can be unhelpful because if you imagine Pudsey could probably be termed lots of different ways, or there might be, in a bigger town, there might be suburbs of a town, and it depends how the ancestors referred to the precise place where they come from. You know, it's the parish name or... either the county name or a suburb name or a kind of
Local
county administrative name. Well, there's many different, one place can have lots of different names.
Well, I've just typed in her name and her birthday and Pudsey, and we've got four results matching Mildred born on that day.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited to see the fourth one on the list because that's actually a death entry, and it's got Mildred with the surname Nelson. Right. Now, you've been searched on with the surname Nelson, had you? Because you're actually looking for births.
But then the second entry is also the same middle name, which is Emma, which matches. Ooh,
I think you've got it. I think you have. Because the other ones have got different middle names which don't match. Well done, guys. That's good.
So I'll open both.
Yeah. I think both of those. I think you might have got her birth and her death here.
That's pretty cool.
And so it's got her here that she died in 1997. So with your memory of your Auntie Mildred, does 1997 kind of fit?
Yeah, that rocks up about right. I can't quite place when she died, but yeah, it will be in that sort of time period.
Mm. So here, you've only got very brief details. You're looking at the state, you know, the Civil Registration Death Index. She died in 1997. So that's too recent. You're not going to be able to go and get a cheap PDF copy of the certificate off the GRO website because that it doesn't go that recent. You're not able to get the digitized copy of the certificate that recent. You'd have to order a full proper copy of the certificate or ask your mum in case she has a copy. But it's got her birthday, it's got her death registration quarter. So she died in the March quarter of 1997. So she died in early 1997, but you don't know exactly. Yeah. But you have to register a death. I can't remember exactly how many days. I think it's within 5 or 6 days of a death. So it's going to be very much in that ballpark. Yeah.
Cool.
And there was other details. You have to stop, go back to where it was, because then it's got, you need to get the folio. Well, it says she's 92 when she died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then let's have a look at her birth then.
Ooh. So it's definitely the right area. It's that same church that all my family got married in, it seemed. So she was baptized there.
But then when you first open up a new document and it's got the crazy old inky handwriting from yesteryear, and then trying to orientate yourself on the page, because sometimes you don't know where the surname, which one's the surname column, which one's the first name column, what order. And yeah. So again, like I said the other time before, it's really handy to scoot up to the top of the page and then just read the type columns. If it's a sort of old document that has type columns, obviously when you get back into the 1700s, they don't have that. But once you get to the 1800s, then you're going to find a lot of the records do have, they've got typed forms. And so even though it's got handwriting on it, at least you have a fighting chance of knowing what's happening in that column.
Yeah.
Have you found her?
Yes, she's the top one there. So Mildred Emma, her parents' name are William and Sarah Ann Wheatley. That's the right address. That's actually where I probably did actually meet her. So definitely her.
Mm-hmm. And this is interesting as well, because this parish register, so in the column, just written as a kind of marginal note, it's got the birth date, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And then next to it, it's got her baptised date. So she was baptised when she's a little baby, about 6 or 7 weeks old, isn't she, I guess?
Yeah, she's born in January. She's baptised in March, yes.
Yeah.
Cool. This is exciting.
It's really exciting. And because you've got all this information about her, and you've got her, so her father's names, like you said, you've got the address, you've got her father's occupation, then off the top of my head, I think you've got all of the information that you get. Then if you'd ordered a birth certificate for her, so you don't need to go to the GRO and order a birth certificate. I think you've got pretty much most of the information.
Brilliant. Save some money.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, save some money, save some time, job done. Save the record down.
Yes, save.
Yeah. So you can save it to your tree, and that's really cool to save it to your tree. And then I would also say, are you doing it where you save it to your computer as well?
I wasn't doing, because I've been doing it on my phone.
Yeah. Have a folder where you can save all your documents you find.
So I need to add a new person because she's not on my tree at all.
Fantastic.
Mildred Emma. Oh, this is really cool.
You know she's female.
We do indeed. And can I just put a year in here for the death date?
Yeah. So who's she attaching to you in your tree?
I don't know. It's terrifying. Because
let's go have a look at your tree then.
It's not asking me to attach it to anything. So she's just floating somewhere. And the potential parent matches are matching what we said on that register.
Yeah, let's make sure she's in the right place though. Let's go and have a look at your tree and see if she is attached to William Alan as a spouse, whether she's just a floater. So you can't see her in your tree, so she's not... Oh, wait a minute, there's a little arrow next to Alan. Let's have a look and see. Hide siblings? No. Okay, so I don't think she's showing up as in the pedigree part of your tree. So if you go over to the left-hand side of your tree, there's that little vertical thing of tools, a little column of tools. And if you go for the one with the magnifying glass, go find it, which says find in tree. So go up a bit, up, 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 up. Yeah, that one, find in tree, search on Mildred. Yeah, find her in the tree. So because of find in tree, I think you should see her. She should be all by herself in the tree.
Oh, wait, look, Maggie Nelson. Oh.
Yeah, so she's still not there. So this is great. So we know that she's married to Alan. So with Alan, click on Alan and then you'll get through to his profile and then be able to add a relation. Or in the three dots, doesn't matter, either which way. And we want to add a relation. So... in the family column over on the right-hand side. Yeah, add spouse. Perfect. So you're not adding a new person. You're going to choose somebody from your tree.
Ah, yes. So Mildred, who is just...
invisible.
Green floating, yeah.
Yeah.
Save. Do I need to change Alan's name now to William Alan?
Well, yes, because you've got quite a lot of information about him, haven't you? So I think... You should be writing all of this down in your research log. So we've actually, although it felt like we've just been waffling and not really doing very much, we've actually done quite a lot and we've established some things that we're definitely going to forget and definitely going to get in a muddle about. So.
Definitely.
You need to write it down. You need to save all of these documents to your tree because they will, when you're navigating around your tree, they'll help you know why you thought what. You need to be writing up, I found this and this has told me this. And you also need to save down a copy of all of these documents to your computer or to save it to a folder in your cloud or whatever. The reason is, at the moment, you're paying for an Ancestry subscription, so you can see all these beautiful historic documents. Let's say at some point you decide you want to stop paying for these Ancestry, stop paying for Ancestry. You'll still have your tree on Ancestry, but you won't be able to see any of the beautiful documents. But if you've got them on your computer, you'll still be able to study them. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. I feel like I'm seriously hogging your time and stealing all your knowledge now.
It's just good.
I've just spotted, you remember that entry we saw earlier where the names were wrong and we were like, this isn't right, and it had the William in it and it just boys in it.
Yes.
I've just spotted now, it actually says birth of half-sister Maggie Nelson.
Oh, fantastic.
So this is suddenly getting bigger, isn't it?
It is. It is. It definitely is. And all of this sort of thing, it's so useful to know that Maggie's a half-sister. So
she's my great-grandma, yeah.
So your great-granny, her siblings are half-siblings to her. And this will have an impact on your DNA matches because the descendants of her brothers, you're going to share, roughly, it gets vague by that stage anyway, but you're going to be sharing half as much DNA as what you would if they were full siblings of Maggie.
Right. So it looks like William Allen was the older brother.
Mm.
And then from a second marriage or whatever, Maggie's appeared and her other brother, Eric.
Mm.
So maybe I need to go back into that other document in 1921 and get the other brother added. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Mm. What's the best way for me to go and edit this Alan Wilson to make him William Allen? Is it going to have a knock-on effect to anything I do? Will it confuse things within my tree?
Not at all. So you can edit it. You could literally call him Mr. Banana or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can keep editing details like that. The main thing when you're editing the details is you need to keep a note in your research log. Why? Have I ever mentioned the research log before? it's because you're going to forget why you thought whatever, yeah?
Yeah, so the reason for me to change his name to William Allen
mm.
is because of the 1939 census.
1939 register. Register. And we have a census, which you'd already forgotten because you haven't written it down. So you need to be writing. So at this point, I would feel like you've done really, really well. Your goal was to find Auntie Mildred. You had a hunch she was going to be married to one of your great-great-uncles. And this is all checked out. And you found her in the location you think there wasn't anyone else you could get confused with. You've cross-checked loads of little micro details, like people's first names, unexpected first names, people's middle names, people's initials, addresses. Lots of the things are checking out. So you've kind of got your wits about you. You're not relying on hints. Imagine if it was a hint and you got told something and you didn't know what the other possibilities were.
Mm.
They could have just hinted you an Alan Nelson and you would have never known that really you should be looking for a William Allen.
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive stumbling block straight away, and it's probably quite a commonplace one, I imagine, but...
Yeah, so I think I tend to be a bit too cautious about this. Like, I spend too much time making sure I've definitely got every single sibling before I go and do the next piece of my research. So I keep stalling myself the whole time because I don't want to make a wrong decision. So I'm too extreme, I think, too... to slim myself down too much. But I think it is useful to know what you're doing. So to know who the possible contenders are, it's useful to have a clear goal in mind, what you're going to search for. It's useful to go to the card catalogue and choose a precise collection of records that you're going to search. And then you're not just going to do a scattergun search. Sometimes you can do that, but just if you have a precise goal in mind and a rough time period, it's really useful being precise about what you're doing so you're effective.
Yeah.
So you know what you've done.
Yeah,
you've done it.
I feel thrilled. It's like, yeah. Great. I found her. I didn't ask my mum a single question.
Yes.
And obviously, with a lot of help from you and the search engines, we found.
Yeah, no, but you spotted loads of things. Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good.
But the other side of that now is like, oh my God, there's brothers, there's half brothers. I need all their dates. I need all their weddings, blah, blah, blah. It's all flooding in and I want to have it all. I've got to count now. I'm not even meant to be looking directly on this line. It was just a task for me to do, or a challenge to find out where she fits in. And now I do. So she's my great, great aunt.
She's your great, great aunt by marriage. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that is the result. That's what I was looking for, finding out where she placed in my family.
Mm-hmm. And those great students stack up, don't they? So she's your great great aunt by marriage. She's your son's great 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 aunt by marriage.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking at the date ranges now of when she was born, I said I wouldn't mention this until I got to it, but potentially she could have had children and he could be the person that went in this tank story that I keep going on about. But maybe I'll save that and that can be my next task. See if I can find
that. So she's born in 1905.
Yes.
So she's, I think Tank Man might be a little bit young.
For World War II?
So she's born in 1905. Have you got their marriage date?
No.
Let's go look for that.
Roger that. I don't know where to begin now. I feel like I'm overloaded. Right. Should I just do it via searches? Mm-hmm. Why the hell not? Birth, marriage, are you there?
That's good, yeah.
Mildred, spouse William. Oh, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. It's all coming together. Search, death record, marriage record, and that is her maiden name. So let's have a look at that one. It's quite interesting using this on the computer as opposed to the app.
I find it much easier. What do you think?
I prefer the app. It takes me straight into the record and I feel like I've got a lot more stuff to click. Obviously, if I'd have saved Mildred without having the link, I think I'd have been totally lost on the app. But this just seems like there's more to click. Right, so now I'm in the church records. But I can't read any of this handwriting.
Have you found them?
No. Oh, there. What the heck? Yes, there.
Yes.
27th of March, 1926.
Nice.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
I can just feel information coming into my head that I'm not putting up a research log.
Yes, it's true.
I'm going to get such a telling up about this.
I think you need to set yourself a thing. After this, you're not going to find out anything new until you've written it all down.
Yeah. Who are these people and where did they come from? So this is the Church of England, seat of E, marriage, 1813 to 1935.
Yes. And so what's interesting about this isn't actually their marriage register entry. And what details can you tell me about William Allen and Mildred from this record that you're looking at?
I can tell you their names, their middle names, their surnames, where they live. And I'm not entirely sure what.
So can you remember what you're missing? Do you know when you look at another marriage certificate? Have you found any other marriage certificates? Because what you would hope to be seeing is their dad's names, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
And their dad's occupations. And their and an occupation for William and marital status is falling. This is because it's just the book of bans. So, it's, you know, when you get the marriage read out three times in church, in the weeks leading up to the marriage, to say whether anyone knows any just cause or impediment or whatever. I don't know if they actually say those words, but, you know, to find out whether they can legally be married. So this is still really, really useful to have. But we need to actually continue the search and actually find the actual marriage register entry, because then that will give us more information about him.
At this point, would I save this particular?
Yes, definitely. Always save everything because it's all useful. Save that. And because your goal really is to find out what children they had, you know they're married in 1927. And that makes kind of logical sense of her being born in 1905, she's roughly 22.
Mm-hmm.
So you, at this stage, the focus of your research is looking for their children. So you can park it and not go and look for their marriage certificate, but know that you're going to look for their marriage certificate later.
I'd quite like to look for their marriage certificate.
Okay, so let's keep with that then.
So again, am I going back into searches?
Yeah.
Exactly the same process as before. Mm. Birth, marriage and death. Mildred Emma, married to William Allen, and then search again. Got a lot of windows open now, it seems.
That one looks really, that looks good.
That didn't appear the first time, is it?
Hmm.
Interesting.
You could keep going down as well and have a look. That's going to just be an index entry, I think, isn't it?
Oh, this looks like it.
Oh, yes. Yes. See, already you know. See, you wouldn't have known that a few weeks ago, would you?
No, because that was a list. And then this one actually, that looks like the right sort of document. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I'm such a professional at this now.
Yes. It's cool. It's really cool.
Okay, let's check out.
But that's again, that's another thing. Like, if you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know what you're missing out for. Whereas now, you know, when you saw the bands, you're like, hey, the bands is useful, but it's not the whole deal. I'm not getting all the information I could get. I need to keep looking. See, that's much better, isn't it?
The father of Mildred is William Wheatley.
And at any stage, it's all useful having it checking out, isn't it? Because, you know, we were pretty confident that William Allen was the correct one. But having it here again with George Horatio Nelson, you know, the details are all cross-matching.
Okay. One thing I've just noticed, though, on that first document we looked at, we were saying the marriage date was the 27th of March, 1926. This is saying April the 30th, 1927. You'd say this is the more accurate one, wouldn't you?
Yes, this is the accurate, but this is, well, the other one could be accurate, but maybe not for them, but it looked like they were their details. It was the correct place. Let's have a look at the other document again. So they got married on the 30th of April, 1927. That's definitely the deal. I'm quite interested in their ages, because their ages are showing up differently.
Oh, yeah, look, this is saying different. Their ages are showing up differently. Oh, my God. I don't know where I'm looking now.
Go back to your search results.
Because I've saved them, will these entries not appear anymore? Oh, no, they do.
No, they will do, yes.
In the top corner, it says 1926.
Mm. That's not you who's got it wrong. It's the person who's filled out the register of bands. They put 1926 in the top corner. And they probably thought, maybe they went through the book and they thought, oh, we're going to keep going 1926, 1926. And they filled out this one as 1926. But actually, the bands were read on the 27th of March, 1927, 3rd of April, 1927, and 10th of April, 1927, and then they got married a few weeks later on the 30th.
30th, yeah.
Ideal. It's fine. It checks out.
But both are fine. Both are right. It's just discrepancies. But that's, again, interesting to note, isn't it? Just because it's written down doesn't mean it's right. Cool.
So with that other marriage register entry you found, and you're interested that you now had Mildred's dad, so of course he needs to go on the tree as well, doesn't he? And what we could do, there's one more mini lesson before your head totally implodes with all the extra information. Do you go to your tree or choose somebody, go to your tree and choose somebody, probably Mildred or somebody you've been looking at today, on your tree?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when their profile opens up, then in the middle column, it says sources and add source. So when you add the people to your tree, they're getting added there. And that's really useful because that's giving you a little mini list of all the historic records that you've looked at, thought are relevant to Mildred, and added, even when it says add to tree or add to computer, and you've added them to your tree. So that's really, really useful to have that there. Yeah. And so if you are in a kind of a bit of a research fest, you're finding out loads and loads of stuff, you're not filling in your research log, then once you've finished going around finding lots of information, you can methodically go to all the people that you've found new information for, and you've got that list per person of stuff that's relevant to them, because you've got her, you've got the birth for her, and you've also got marriage for her. But if you go and click on her husband, William Allen, and he'll have the marriage in his column as well. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And he's on the 1921 census.
So this is really helpful for you. So
yeah. So you're saying in reference to filling out my research log and making sure it's up to date.
Yeah. Filling out your research log, making sure it's up to date, making sure that you've added all possible details to your tree and to your notes, because Ancestry will kind of pull out some details and add them to your your timeline of facts. But they won't pull out everything. But whereas you want every detail pulled out, you want to be able to, you want to know about the facts of what occupations people had. You can add them all as facts, or you might want to tag all the people who were in a line of work that particularly interest you or whatever. So you don't just want to grab, I always keep saying this, like a marriage record isn't just a record of their marriage. It has the dads and the dads' jobs on it. And that's all really, really useful. Because then when you're going back in time a few decades, let's say you're in the 1880s, 1890s, you're looking for the dads in the census. If you know what their dads' occupations are, when you find them in the censuses, if you know their line of work, that's going to help you feel whether you've got a warmer or colder lead. Then, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So my next question, and I'm cheating now on my own homework that I'm going to give myself, but I obviously want to know if she's had children, but we know that they didn't get married till 1926, so they won't be in the 1921 census together.
Mm.
how do I find out more information about these two?
Mm. So you want to find out whether they had children. It's your first bit of your goal. Or yes?
Yes.
So the first thing, if you want to find out about their children, then I would say go to the GRO website, mm-hmm. yeah, GRO certificates one. Because after 1911, then the mother's maiden name is included in the indexes. And why this is helpful, you know Mildred's maiden name. So you can go and search in a particular registration district. You have to search for a date plus or minus 2 years. So you know they married in 1927. So you could search, just start with 1927 in case they had a baby or two before they got married. Some people do, and that's... So I would just start with 1927 plus or minus 2 years. You're going to be searching on a baby born with the surname Nelson, whose mother's maiden name is Wheatley, and in the correct area of the country. Yes, drilling down to the registration district. And then once you've searched that, you're going to see whether you've got any results, make a note of them, then repeat the search. So you could, since you've got 1927 plus or minus 2 years, then you could go to 1929 or 1930 plus or minus 2 years. Just work through. You know that Mildred was born in 1905. So by the very, very latest at 1955, she's not going to have any more children because she'll be 50.
Yeah.
And probably 5 or 10 years before that, she'll stop having children.
Okay, cool. Well, I won't look at that now. That will be my research task for the week.
So you can see they're going to be a little bit young for them to be Tankman. So the jury is still out on Tankman, isn't it?
It is. But I guess I've still got all these brothers and half brothers. It could be a child of one of those two, or more, two or three now.
Mm. So you mentioned a war memorial the other week about Tankman. So do you know Tankman's name or not?
I think it begins with an I. I think it's, but I don't know what his actual name is. It's just got the initials on the memorial.
And you know whose surname?
It's Nelson. Yeah.
Ooh. So how tempted are you? Are you going to stick with sorting out Mildred's children for the moment and doing your research log?
Yes, doing my research log, yes, miss. And yeah, I will, yeah. I want to find Tankman, so that's my mission.
Okay.
I might cheat and talk to my mum now, though, and see if she can give me any hints and fill in a few blanks.
Whether she, has she got any photos of them as well? That would be fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to ask her. Right, enough about me.
It's exhausting, isn't it? Do you know, no, it's great. Last weekend, we met up with a couple of friends and we were chatting about this, that and the other. And then, of course, we started talking about family history. And they wanted to do their family history forever. And they've both taken a DNA test. And then I did pin them down and they were like, we have to go now. And I was like, one more thing. And yeah, eventually let them go. We're meeting up for breakfast and they left about 2. They said they had something really important they had to go and do.
Ran to the door to escape, yeah.
Yeah, it's good fun. I've got a bit of a family project myself. So my aunt got in touch and this is very exciting. My grandpa's first cousin is still alive. And so he's the oldest person in my family tree that I know of.
Right.
And I've got so many questions I want to ask him. And because of the nature of that branch of the family, then I've never met him.
Right. Well, that's really exciting, isn't it?
Yes. So, yes, my aunt's given me his phone number. I need to put together a small but not overwhelming list of questions and give him a call. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And have you got anything that you want to find out in particular from that?
Yes. I want to find out about my grandpa's dad, because my grandpa's dad wasn't part of any of our lives. He wasn't even part of my grandpa's life. You know, my grandpa's born in 1920, and by 1921, his dad just was off the scene. So it would just be really great to ask this cousin about my great grandpa. Does he know anything? I don't know anything about him. I don't know any funny stories. I don't know if he liked canaries. I don't know if he liked cooking. I don't know what books he liked to read. I don't know anything about him. Mm. So any clues, anything.
Well,
he went on holiday. I don't know if he ever went on holiday. I don't know if he is depressed. I don't know. I literally don't have a clue. There's one picture I've got of him in Second World War uniform He's holding a cigarette.
Right.
That's all there is. Yeah.
That's cool. And that's going to really help you expand out who he is and, well, hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, of course, my grandpa's cousin might not remember much because he was a lot younger than my grandpa. But anything.
Yeah. No, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. It feels like a real link to the past because my great-grandpa effectively walked out of all of our, not, I wasn't even alive then, but walked out of our branch of the family's life in 1921. And so over a century later, there's a chance to find out about this person who, like my dad, never met him either. It's weird, isn't it?
Oh, that's fascinating. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look forward to hearing what you find out.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see if he might be tempted to take a DNA test as well.
Okay.
I mustn't bribe him and persuade him. I'm going to kind of gently ask him whether he'd be up for that.
He might want to come on the podcast, you never know.
Yes. Yeah, we need to get some guests on the podcast, don't we?
Yes.
Have you got any people on the wish list you'd like to get on the podcast? Or any sorts of expertise you'd like to have on the podcast?
Well, I guess at some point when I calm down on the whole searching part, I need to go back to the DNA like we discussed. So one of the DNA experts
mm-hmm.
would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess someone who knows a bit about local history might be good as well. Mm-hmm. Don't know. No one in mind there. My new best friend, Jude. I don't know. Oh, obviously war records as well. If I can find Tank Man, then that's going to probably just destroy my mind as well. There'll be so many different places to search for that. So I imagine that's going to need a little bit of guidance with.
I think those are three great goals. DNA, local history, and military history. That's enough to go out. I'll probably keep us going for the rest of the year, Nathan.
Yeah, that's fabulous. My head's exploding already, so.
What I think would be really fun with the DNA is if we had some specific DNA advice for you, what you need to do, and then also just somebody who can just wow us with some general DNA amazingness.
I'm so ignorant to actually what the ins and outs of DNA are, you know, what it does really, to be honest. It would be fascinating to know.
A little bit of science kind of 101, that would be good.
100%. And again, knowing what separates us from a banana, we need to know that.
We need to establish that. We know some people who can help. So right, yes, we just need to get that lined up. Okay, well, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our real-time wander through Nathan's genealogy. And sometimes when we hear about other people doing family history and the discoveries they make, perhaps when you see it on the telly, it can sound very, very slick and very, very easy. But as you can see by us rummaging around and checking a record and then revisiting it and gradually piecing together the tiny clues, it can be painstaking. It can be confusing, but it is always fun and worth it. Wouldn't you agree, Nathan?
Totally. Very exciting. I know I use the word exciting and interesting a lot, but I've loved that today. It's really got me on, hasn't it? It's fabulous.
Definitely. You've got so much more to do now. I think it's like, solve one thing, get another 5 jobs in the pipeline.
And I stupidly thought it would send me to a full stop. I'll establish where Auntie Mildred is, and that's it. And obviously it hasn't. It's just made everything bigger.
There are no full stops in family history.
I've learned that the hard way.
Bye then, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye.